what others are feeling, and also if there are new people here, then I feel that it's proper and Bob's way to speak primarily and more directly to whatever new people are here, but I don't think there are any new people here. Are they stuck away in the corner somewhere? There aren't many of us at all. And when there are new people here, you sort of have to start with the ABCs in a way, and you have to go. You have to be sure that you're expressing something that will give an idea of who Meher Baba is to a person who is coming here for the first time. It was always Baba's way to give priority to people who were being introduced to him for the first time, to make them feel that they were special to him, and indeed they always were. Everyone is special to Baba. And when you first come to Baba, you get the red carpet treatment. Because he wants you to know how genuinely happy he is to see you, and how genuinely happy he is that you have, by his grace, found your way to him. And Baba, it isn't just good manners. It's a genuine thing in Baba that he really is happy to see new people. And his new lovers always kind of took front place, and his old lovers had to kind of stand back whenever new lovers came. And Baba said to his mandali, "Someday my young lovers will come to me, and then you're all going to just have to stand in the background and watch them sort of take over." And I think that's what's happening now. To a great extent, a lot of younger lovers have the energy and the vitality to carry Baba's message out. And how do we carry Baba's message? We don't, without proselytizing. How do we go out and spread Baba's message without laying a heavy number on people? And I suppose it's by trying to have something within that makes our life, or makes everything that we do shine out to others without necessarily saying anything about Baba right away, or perhaps not until we're asked something, a leading question. And I call it, it struck me that it could really be called the continuation of Baba's silence through his lovers. That we can actually carry Baba in silence without laying a heavy number on anybody. And that there is more Baba in taking Baba with us in silence wherever we go than there is getting out on the street corner passing out pamphlets, because we know that Baba didn't want that. And I think that it's kind of exciting to think of it as the continuation, as our being still part of Baba's silence, and the continuation of that silence, and that we carry Baba with, we can very easily carry Baba with us in silence wherever we go and feel that it is a genuine contact, that Baba is making contact through our contact with him. But in my position, being a resident of the center, I'm not usually put in a position of silence. It isn't. Silence is not called for in my life, usually, because the people who have come to the center have come to hear about Baba. And it's made me become kind of a talker and always have something to say about Baba. It's just gotten kind of to be a habit. And hi, David.
Hi, Lynn.
Hey, Bob.
Hi. Sorry, Lynn.
Where's Mom?
She's watching something.
Yeah, that's right. There's always one that can come.
Yeah, right.
And then with the baby, there's always only one that can come.
You can do two.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, we were talking about the fact that the Baba lovers who live out at various places in America can actually be a part of Baba's silence and carry the Baba contact in silence, not necessarily even talking about Baba or mentioning Baba. But at the center is set up to make more of an outside and direct contact to Baba. And we do feel free to talk openly about Baba, and I think one of the things that draws everyone, so many people back to the center again and again is the happiness of being able to talk freely and openly with everyone you see about Baba and about, well, what we generally call the spiritual path, which for us is simply following Baba. Some people came to visit us the other night. They were just married, a young couple, and the young man was the contact for the young lady to Baba. She heard about Baba from him, and they had just gotten married, and. So I asked her how long have you known about Baba? And she said, well, I just heard about it last summer. And that struck me because she said, I just heard about it. Well, what is it? What is this it? Well, I didn't say anything because she's married to a Baba lover, and she's very much you could tell she's a Baba lover. But she's so new that when I said, when did you hear about Baba? She said, I heard about it last summer. Well, somebody who has been to India and who has met Mayor Baba, really, that's pretty far out to hear Baba called it. Because the Baba that I met was definitely not an it. Baba was very, very human. superhuman. Not really superhuman in the sense of being superhuman, but kind of super duper human. That's really what I mean. That's the way Bob was. He wasn't superhuman, he was just super duper human. Which means wonderfully human. Superhuman means something else. Baba has said that the perfect masters are actually superhuman in their divinity, but that the avatar is completely human in his divinity. And that is essentially one of the ways in which Baba describes the difference between a perfect master and the avatar. That the perfect master has become superhuman and is completely divine, is a divine human being, and the avatar is a divine human being from the other direction. In other words, the divine has become completely and totally human. And the Baba is a real human being in every sense of the word. He feels as we feel, gets hurt as we get hurt, gets his feelings hurt, feels sad, feels happy, everything, like us. Baba said that a perfect master is so merged with divinity that he is not really human, he is only acting the part of humanity, of being a member of humanity, whereas he is actually totally a member of divinity. He's a part of divinity. It's a very difficult point to grasp, and I don't think we need to go on long with it. I do think it's interesting. The funny thing is to hear Baba referred to as it, and perhaps we've all heard Baba referred to as it at times. If someone wants to know about Baba, they'll say, well, what is it all about? What is this? Is it some kind of, what kind of an ism is it? What kind of a organization is it? Well, in a sense, there is a sense in which it is an it. There is a prayer called the Christian prayer, which was not given by Baba, but which was endorsed by Baba with a parenthetical statement. Has anyone seen, any of you seen the Christian prayer?
Yeah. Hmm.
I don't know if it's always published with this note by Baba attached to it, in which Baba, I think, says, Christ is not a man. Christ is a principle. And in a sense, I guess you could refer to the principle as it. Is the principle of divinity manifested in a human being. So that Jesus is a man who occupies the office of the Christ. But the Christ itself is not an it. It's a divine state of being. And so there is kind of an it aspect to Baba, or what we in our mistaken intellects think of as an it. But even this divine principle is fundamentally a he with capital H, or a she with capital S, or both. And Baba said that he embodied both the principle, both the male principle and the female principle, the father and the mother. It made me stop and wonder what is really more important, which to take the greatest emphasis, the aspect of Baba that we could call impersonal. There is an aspect of Baba that is impersonal in its universality. But there is also an aspect of Baba that is completely personal. And my observations, those who have come close to Baba have been drawn close to Baba, feel very drawn to the personal side, to Baba as an individual, particular person, even though he has dropped his physical body. And it has kind of amazed me that over the past 5 years, when so many lovers come to Baba, new lovers, that the personal side of Baba does mean so much, that this human being who has dropped his body does mean so much. And the new lovers, the young lovers, I see it especially in India. They hang on every little story about Baba that the Mandalik can think of. They hang on every little piece of material that makes Baba more vividly real and human. But then there is the aspect of the life. The Baba life that we find in the discourse, living the life, and which is not particularly identifiable with holding on to the Dhamma, holding on to the personality of Mayor Baba. There is a truth to be lived, the new life. The new life statement by Baba. There it is on the poster over there. Maybe somebody could read that aloud. Who'd like to read that? Don?
No? Okay.
Read it.
This new life is endless. Even after my physical death, will be kept alive by those who give the life of complete renunciation of falsehood, lies, hatred, anger, greed, and lust. And who to accomplish all this, do no lustful actions, do no harm to anyone, do no backbiting, do not seek material possessions or power, accept no homage, neither covet honor nor shun disgrace, fear no one or nothing.
By
those who rely wholly and solely on God, and who love God,
for the sake of love,
who believe in the
abundance of God, and in the reality of manifestation,
and yet that do not expect any spiritual or material reward, and do not let go of the hand of truth, who without being upset by calamities, fairly and wholeheartedly face all hardships with 100% cheerfulness, and give no importance to past treatment or
religious
ceremonies. This new life will live last up eternity, even if they're planning to live.
This new look, now that's the, in a sense, it's the living aspect of Baba, but it's also the impersonal aspect of Baba. This new life will live by itself eternally, even if there is no one to live. And Baba lived it. He lived, and the new life period lasted 3 years, and Baba lived it. And he also said that no one else had been able to live it. Everyone else failed to live the new life with him. But Baba succeeded. Well, there are actually... I was thinking the other day of the different phases of Baba's life, and I thought of 8 distinct phases of the divine life lived on earth through the man form of Meher Baba. There were 8 distinct phases that I know of. But someone else might have divided up differently. But it's very interesting. These are phases, 8 phases of the manifestation of the divine on earth in human form. And the first phase is the phase of God manifested on earth as a little boy, oblivious of his own divinity, and living an ordinary life as an ordinary little boy. This was the first and beginning stage of the avataric advent and the living of the divine life on earth. A little boy who didn't know or realize who he was. And then there is the stage 2.